Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks a tackle, touchdown Jacksonville!
The NFL just never stops. It's just great, it seems like, every weekend. Through 5 weeks already, so many memories and so many produced this past weekend with the Tampa Bay-Seattle game all time for a regular season combined quarterback performance, the crazy Arizona-Tennessee game, which, by the way, head coach Jonathan Gannon in Arizona apologized for going after the running back that dropped the ball prior to going into the end zone, which seems to be now the dumbest thing that happens in sports. And then we get last night a really good game going in that more than lives up to it, with Trevor Lawrence literally being tripped by his right guard on a play in which they got to get into the end zone down 28-24, and somehow he gets up and runs it in for a touchdown. Wild play, great game, another winning week for the smell test. 4-3 on the weekend. We've had six smell tests so far this year, Max, and six winning weeks, hitting at 61% on the year. Cruising. Stay tuned. We'll have a lot of picks coming up Thursday and Friday this week. Good morning. Max is here with me on the show today. Nick Akridge will join us at 11 a.m. Nick's with Pro Football Focus. Talk about Sunday's game. Talk about the first five games overall. A lot of conversation about Sunday. And what I have found based on my social media circle is that most of the conversation is actually about Bill. It's about Kroski Merritt. This from Dr. Ed. Dr. Ed writes, Kevin, as the volunteer historian of your show, I didn't know that we had named Dr. Ed the volunteer historian of this show. He does seem to remember, by the way, almost everything that I have said and anything that any guest has said over the years. He writes, as the volunteer historian of your show, I reviewed your reaction when the Skins drafted Bill. You said he had really good speed, decent vision, and great cutback ability, a perfect fit for a zone run scheme. You liked him, called him athletic and explosive, but thought he was more of a change of pace guy than a 20 carry a game back. You gave the pick a B to C plus and said you'd wished that they had traded up for Damian Martinez. I don't think I said trade up for Damian Martinez. I guarantee you I didn't suggest that they trade up for Damian Martinez. Pick Damian Martinez, yes. Trade up for him, no. Who, by the way, was drafted by Seattle in the seventh round, waived, re-signed to the practice squad, then released on September 19th. Kevin, I think you deserve a B for your draft analysis of Bill. Don't feel bad. At least you bothered to do the research. Unlike Clinton Portis, who, when you asked him what he thought about Kroski Merritt, he said, I have no idea who he is. Well, Clinton's not studying the draft, Dr. Ed. He's a coach at Delaware State, coaching with DeSean Jackson, and coaching, by the way, running backs and the number one rush offense in 1AA, or FCS, sorry. But thank you, Dr. Ed. I don't think I deserve a B I mean, if I gave him a B to a C plus, I deserve a D minus for that evaluation of Bill. Every bit of it. I did like, there were a lot of backs. We did a lot on the running backs because this really was a draft in which, you know, the running backs were thought to be incredibly, you know, deep in this last draft, and that you didn't need to draft a Hampton or a Gentry in the first round. Now, people saw a big difference with Gentry and everybody else, all right? That, and I think that's probably fair, although with running backs, it's really hard to know for sure. Hampton went in the first round as well. By the way, did you see this yesterday? I talked about in my game take yesterday that Omarion Hampton was not on the field for that last Chargers drive that ended in the San Ristil interception after the Johnny Newton tipped pass. And I said that was a huge benefit because not only did they have Hassan Haskins come in, but actually the guy at the goal line that was in the game was their third string running back, Vidal. And if you had Hampton in the game, you probably go Hampton first and goal, Hampton second and goal. Maybe you throw it. I don't know. But Hampton's a bigger threat as a runner down at the goal line. So he was getting taped up, according to, you know, Burkhart and Brady during that drive. Turns out, injured ankle, injured reserve. They put him on IR yesterday. Big blow for the Chargers, who just, along with the 49ers, you know, our team for sure, the Ravens for sure, are way up there in, okay, these are the teams that have been bitten badly by the injury bug early in the season. I mean, the Chargers started 3-0. They just started losing offensive linemen left and right. They lost Najee Harris. Now they've lost Hampton. They lost Khalil Mack. Remember, we didn't have to face him on Sunday. So Hampton to the IR. But anyway, back to the Bill conversation and backs. There were so many interesting backs in this draft. And some of them have made, you know, early impressions. Gentry, Hampton, R.J. Harvey in Denver has looked good. The guy Tootin, who was in the game last night. They've got ETN, and then they've got Tootin in the backfield for Jacksonville. Scadaboo's looked really good for the Giants. The kid in Houston, Woody Marks, the USC kid, has been good. Sampson's gotten some time. I'll tell you who I think has been the most impressive, and he missed the first couple of games because he was suspended as they looked into some of these allegations regarding, I think, a domestic situation. Quinshon Judkins for the Browns. Legit. Wow, does he run hard. He went over 100 on Sunday in the London game against Minnesota. He looked good. But yes, there were a couple of backs I liked, and I really liked Martinez from Miami. Was surprised that he lasted until the 7th. And look, that could be an issue of a lot of things we don't know about. That's the thing with these drafts. We don't know the personal. But I do remember, you know, after looking at Kroski Merritt, liking what I saw, but also definitely, you know, saying over and over again, seventh round running backs typically, not typically, almost always are misses for whatever reason in the NFL. And I went back over the last 10 years of seventh round running backs, listed them all, and the only one to have made an impression and made a literal, a real legitimate contribution, Isaiah Pacheco in Kansas City, who was on the field last night. Well, guess what? Certainly looks like in the last 11 years, we're going to have 2 seventh-round picks that end up being legitimate legitimate backs and contributors in the NFL because Jacory Kroski Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, is off to a great start, no doubt. So a lot of Bill conversation, and I want to start with that on the show today because a lot of you have just reached out and said, this is who he reminds me of. Because I think we mentioned it briefly yesterday, and there were a couple of comps, and I said, I don't really have a comp. And I don't. There's nobody that just jumps out for me. Like, that's who he runs like. I mean, he is, you know, we had the one tweet from someone who said, man, this guy's got Chris Johnson speed. I'm like, okay, stop. Okay. He doesn't have Chris Johnson speed. We went back and looked at the 40 times. Chris Johnson, you know, a.k.a. the Tennessee Titans Chris Johnson, is probably the fastest running back in NFL history. He ran a 4.24. Kroski Merritt ran a 4.45. Good time. Good time. Not what you would call world-class running back speed at the NFL level, but it's good speed, and you can see it, and it's very functional speed. I think his burst and his quickness is as impressive as his speed. To me, it's his vision. You know, you could see that in the New Mexico, you know, highlight reel when you went back. He's got excellent feel and vision, especially inside, as an inside runner. You know, whether it is finding that seam, you know, being patient, really good with his feet, cutting ability, or laterally being able to break it to the outside with vision that says there's nothing here. And, you know, they had that first touchdown run, I mean, untouched. Really good vision to bounce, excellent blocking on the play, no edge setting by the Chargers. Touchdown, Bill Kroski, Merritt. But that's the question. I want to know who you think, you know, he plays like. Who's the running back, current or historically, who you think Kroski Merritt is a good comp for, running style-wise? It's not easy. I'm going to give you a bunch of these, okay? From my friend Scott. Scott writes, not Van Pelt, a different Scott. Scott writes, I think he runs like LaDainian Tomlinson. Okay. LaDainian Tomlinson, Hall of Famer. But stylistically, we can comp him to anybody, great or even average. From GH, I see Tiki Barber. Hold on for one second. So many additional Bill tweets here. My fault. Anyway, several people compared him to Mike Thomas, including a caller yesterday, partly because of his number. Man, you got to be old like me to remember Mike Thomas, the 1975 Rookie of the Year for the Redskins, drafted in the fifth round from UNLV, and was a really good running back, and one of those guys that was really good as a vision. You know, wasn't a blazer, wasn't like, you know, a burner, but really had terrific vision between the tackles and was just an excellent, excellent back. And was the, you know, offensive rookie of the year, and was the last offensive rookie of the year until RG3 won it in 2012. And that was unique for the time because George Allen didn't draft players. Here's a comp. Kevin, I see a lot of Barry Sanders and Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. That from Dom on Twitter. I don't see any Barry Sanders in Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. Barry Sanders is not a good... There are very few, if ever, running backs that I would comp to Barry Sanders. He had a style that was totally unique. The thing about Barry Sanders is it was stop, start. It was go backwards to get forwards. It was an odd running style. He was elusive. That was his number one trait, was being able to not get tackled at times 6-7 yards behind the line of scrimmage, because that's the direction he actually went in. Many times before he would go forward. I don't see that comp at all. Kevin, I see a lot of Emmett Smith. This from Jacob. I see a lot of Emmett Smith in Bill. He never takes a direct shot. That is true. His build is completely different than Emmett's. You know, Emmett was built kind of compact and low to the ground. I don't think I see Emmett Smith, but I know what you're talking about. This from Derek. Derek sees Adrian Peterson. We've got some Hall of Fame comps here. Okay, LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, Emmett Smith, Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson. I know these are the backs we kind of remember. But, you know, give me a back that maybe wasn't, you know, an all-time great. There's another one here. This from Maurice. Maurice writes, Kevin, I see a lot of Willis McGahee in Kroski Merritt. McGahee was just bigger. McGahee was bigger and more physical as a back. Look, what's surprising so far about Bill for me is his yards after contact. He breaks tackles. He's very hard to wrap up, which speaks to clearly he's got lower body strength. But I don't see McGahee. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Who's a good comp? Just looking through, I'm looking for somebody who isn't a Hall of Famer. Kevin, I see Aaron Jones in Bill. Yeah, there's a little bit of Aaron Jones. Jones is kind of a, I think Jones, Aaron Jones will is a very good vision runner. Also, you know, a high yards per carry guy, which Bill is. Bill's leading the league in yards per carry, people. He's leading the league in expected yards per carry. I mean, these are really impressive numbers so far. Small sample size and small number of carries. You know, maybe if he gets 18, 19, 20, those averages come down a little bit. I could see a little bit of Aaron Jones. Want to find players. Kevin, Lamar Miller. So, because I did ask in my podcast for comps, so I got a lot of these via Twitter and email. Lamar Miller, I always felt like was an underrated kind of Miami back, and ended up playing, by the way, for the Dolphins. And I thought Lamar Miller was the quintessential kind of vision back, you know, wasn't going to blow you away in a lot of ways, but was versatile and really always ended up getting more than you thought he should get. Was Lamar Miller ever a Pro Bowler? Lamar Miller. He did make a Pro Bowl. He made a Pro Bowl with the Texans in 2018. Interesting. He made a Pro Bowl with the Texans in 2018, rushing for 973 yards in 14 games. That seems like a bit of a stretch. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Give me your NFL current or historical comp for Kroski Merritt. I feel like we may have done this with backs, you know, before the draft, but I don't think we ever did it with Bill. It's now time to do it for Bill. We'll do that next. Want your thoughts on that. Again, Nick Ackridge from Pro Football Focus at 11. A little bit of sort of upon further review of the Chargers games, some things that I went back and found in the All-22 that I want to share with you on the show today. But let's talk Kroski Merritt and his amazing start as a seventh-round running back draft choice to this 2025 rookie season. That's next.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who does Bill remind you of? current historical NFL running back comp from Devin. Arian Foster, he has that kind of vision. Arian Foster had a very upright running style. It was very Eric Dickerson-esque. I don't see the Arian Foster comp. From James Arthur 81 HOF, Ricky Irvins. Ricky Irvins was a smaller, shifty kind of a back. I don't see the Ricky Irvins comp. This is what's it's interesting. We haven't seen enough of him yet. You know, I'm going a lot on what I've seen in the five games, but also based on what you saw at New Mexico. He would be a phenomenal kind of zone scheme because he is patient. He does have great vision. He does have great cutting ability. I think he's excellent in tight spaces. You can see that. Like, all of a sudden, it looks like there's nothing, and he's 5-6 yards down the field. From Cedric, I got it, Sheehan. A smaller version of Fred Taylor. Yeah, I mean, I just have a hard time because Fred Taylor was a big, strong 225, 230-pound back, wasn't he? 301-230-0980. Who's the comp? Bill, you said you had one, Max.
I do. And I was kind of, so the second you asked this question, I started thinking about it and I started going around YouTube. I started off with LT because that's where my brain first went to, and then that was the first name you brought up. So I said, all right, let's start there. So we started with LT, and then we kind of kept bouncing around. Then I started looking at James Cook highlights, and I started talking to Brian, and Brian mentioned his brother, Dalvin Cook. Yes, and then I cut on Dalvin Cook's highlights, and I see it. It's the cut ability, the ability to break tackles, the getting downhill. Dalvin Cook is a remarkable comp. If you cut on the highlights and just start watching, you'll see a lot of Bill in there.
Yeah, I can see that. I actually can see that. You know, Bill does have two, who wrote this? Where is it? From Devin, Arian Foster. Bill is a little bit upright. To, you know, Devin, if that's what you're going with, there is a little bit uprightness to his running. We sort of observed that in the preseason. But Arian Foster was, we're getting carried away here after five games, but it's been impressive. I mean, you know, at this point, this dude is averaging right now, if you didn't know this, he's averaging 6.6 yards per carry. Number one in the league in average yards per carry. I mean, I know he doesn't have enough carries to be, like, over the moon over that yards per carry. But his running back yards over expected is number one in the league. Some of the advanced numbers are treating him very well. Yeah, I kind of like that Dalvin Cook. What was Dalvin Cook speed-wise? Dalvin Cook was plenty fast enough and was able to take it to the house from 80. But he was not, you know, the fastest back in the league.
He ran a 4.49 at the 2017.
Yeah, so that's Bill's speed.
Yeah, and then they're also both the same size. Bill's 5'11", 208, and Dalvin Cook, 5'10", 210. So right there, kind of in the height and weight category as well.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, he had some really good years with the Vikings. He's not in the league anymore, is he?
No, last he was kind of kicking around last year on the practice squad for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But through his first 4 or 5 years, he averaged 4.5 yards a pop, so...
What was his best season?
Best season was 2020, 14 games played, 312 carries, 1,500 yards, 5 yards per carry, 16 touchdowns.
Yeah, that was the COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
He was excellent. So he had four straight 1,100-plus seasons with his best season, like you said, 1,557 and 16 touchdowns in 2020. You know, during those years in Minnesota, you know, very much, no matter who the coordinator was, Kubiak, you know, Stefanski, it didn't matter. It was, you know, it was a zone running quarterback under center with Kirk a lot scheme with a lot of play action in it. And Cook was the running threat there that made play action work. I like the Dalvin Cook comp.
I'm glad.
301-230-0980. Let's start with Mark in DC. Mark, go ahead. Who's the comp for Bill?
Kevin, how's it going, man?
Good, Mark.
Good. For me, you know, I've had this guy on my fantasy team the past 10 years, or I'm sorry, five of the past 10 years, and it hit me on Sunday. I see it. It's 41 on the Saints. It's Kamara all day long, every day. He hits the hole, and he kind of has that vision when he hits that hole to bounce it outside, just like Kamara. You kind of lose him for a second, and boom, he's gone. Also, when he hits that hole, that speed that Kamara has, I know it's 4-4. I think Kamara is similar. Kamara maybe 4-3, but they're both sort of same size, and the vision spectacular on both.
Man, I would have never gone to Alvin Kamara, in part because how many balls a year does he catch? You know, he's in the, I mean, first of all, so this is the interesting thing, and I've got his numbers here. By the way, I love Alvin Kamara. I think he's a great back. I mean, his first 3 years in the league, first four years in the league, he caught 80-plus balls. He was a better receiver than he was a runner. He's never gone over 1,000 yards. I just think in terms of the kind of play that Bill will get, it will be much more as a runner than as an all-around versatile pass-catching, you know, Marshall Faulk, Warwick Dunn kind of a back. That's my guess. Maybe he develops into that. It's possible, but I don't see the same level of, you know, versatility. But I think he can catch the ball. I don't see him becoming the quarterback's go-to guy as much as the number one receiver on the team is. You know what I mean? I mean, we saw that with Marshall Faulk. We saw that with guys like Warwick Dunn. We've seen that with Kamara. You see that with Bill? You think he's going to be an 80-catch guy a year? Did we moved on from Mark? Sorry. Now, if you're specifically saying the running style, okay. I think Kamara's lower to the ground, you know, shiftier, lower to the ground. I mean, a real burst and a real, you know, Alvin Kamara's got to be a 4-3 guy, right? I'm guessing. Sean and Brandywine. Sean, go ahead. Who's your comp for Bill?
You're going to be surprised when I say this. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning,
Joe Washington. He reminds me a lot of Joe Washington.
Man, we love Joe Washington. We love Joe Washington. But again, like, I'd almost put Joe Washington into the Alvin Kamara, you know, category of as much a receiver as he was a runner. And Joe was smaller, right? A lot smaller. And lower to the ground.
Joe
Washington, 5'9", 179 pounds.
But remember, Kevin, Joe was elusive, quick
he was.
Feet, and he had vision. And he had
great vision.
You think he's going one way, and all of a sudden, he can stop on a dime and go a whole other direction. And that's what I see in Bill. Because there were times when I was watching the game Sunday, and I'm like, how did he get out of there? To even have to go up the middle and say, hey, everybody's in here. I'm going outside and bounce that thing outside. So he doesn't have tunnel vision when he runs. I've been telling people all season long since the preseason, feed Bill. Bill is something special. I think he's elusive, quick feet, and he sees the field.
I agree with everything you said, but here's the difference between him and somebody like Joe Washington, him and somebody like Alvin Kamara or Warwick Dunn or Marshall Faulk. Those guys, including Joe, were backs in which you tried to get them the ball in space. You know, that's why you threw it to them a lot. And in space, they were devastating. This guy isn't, he might be good at that. I'm not suggesting that he can't do that. But this guy's built to be a running back, you know, a lead back where he's getting the ball in the backfield between the tackles and using that vision to, you know, find the spot and the daylight to get that 6 to 7 yards per pop as a runner. That's where I don't see, and Joe Washington was so elusive to your point. By the way, Barry Sanders elusive in many ways in space, in the open field. I don't see that yet with Bill, and I see Bill much more as a true running back, where Joe Washington was a true third down change of pace back. Thanks for the call.
I get that. And thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, sure, Sean. Let's go to G. G, who you got?
Man, we are getting a little carried away, man, but it makes for good radio, Sean. But to bring up Barry Sanders and LaDainian Thomas, and even somebody brought up Willis McGahee with all them injuries. Coming out of Miami, he was never confused as a seventh-round draft pick. That's how talented McGahee was.
Of course.
I would say, from what they did in college, you know, C.J. Spiller, Kenny Walker out of Michigan State, shout out to homie Brian Westbrook, you know, out of DeMatha, you know, and DeAndre Swift.
Kenneth Walker the Third is one of my favorite backs in the league. By the way, he can't stay healthy either. To me, he runs you over too. I mean,
For somebody to say, try to comp him to Chris Johnson, who is one of the fastest human beings in life,
yeah.
I understand it because they watching him in game time. And game speed is a lot more relevant and a lot more beautiful and faster to watch than watching a 40 time. And that's what Bill got. Bill got great game speed, and that's why I comp him to a DeAndre Swift type. He bigger than Swift, but...
He's bigger than Swift.
C.J. Spiller was a monster coming out of Clemson, and that's why I put C.J. Spiller at the top.
C.J. Spiller, though, also a bit more of, you know, that versatility as a pass catcher, too. Like, maybe they'll end up using Bill in that way. Maybe he'll end up being
probably
the Austin Eckler as much as he, you know, is going to be a lead back.
But see, that's why it's a scratch of the head. That might have been the reason why they chose Eckler to start off the season with, because we was all calling for Bill to get more touches, and it took him till what, week four to really get it, and they seeing more than we seeing in practice. So that might be a problem that Kroski Merrick got to get better at catching it out the backfield, but like. It was a scratch of the head. From what he did Sunday, he should have been on the field getting them touches earlier.
Yeah, I think that's right. But they had their reasons, and probably part of it, not probably, it's almost definite that he's got to learn pass pro. They always say that about these young backs. Like, you can't have them out there that much because they've got to learn that pass protection is as important as running the football. I say to that, coach him up quickly on pass pro because you don't want to lose 6.6 yards per carry times 14 carries. Yeah.
Yeah, see, you, I'm with you. Coach him up quickly because a blind man can see what he do on the field. Get him up to speed quick. It looked like they had an underhand back room deal with Eckler to be the number one back because Kroski Merrick is a lot more electrifying. Eckler is a toolbox, but, man, put that young fella in the backfield and give him them 20. Yeah,
they're
20
going
seconds,
to now.
Right?
They're going to now. Thanks, G.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Michael in Clinton. Michael, who's your Bill comp, historical or current?
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The first call of Mark stole my thunder. I'm with Alvin Kamara, too. That's what he reminds me of. And after the game was over this week, Tom Brady interviewed Bill and gave him that award. And Bill was saying that he couldn't wait to show us more. I think he can do a lot more. I think he can catch that ball out of the backfield. We just haven't used him in that manner yet. But Alvin Kamara is also who he reminds me of, man.
Yeah, and by the way, he did catch it out of the backfield on Sunday. Had a really good check down for 20-something yards, I think 28 yards, and he looked good out of that. There's something about I don't see the Kamara running style as a running back, and I don't see the use, the way they use Kamara in New Orleans as the way they'll use Bill here. I could be wrong. It's very early. I don't see him catching 80-plus balls four straight years and not being a 1,000-yard-plus runner. I see the opposite. I see him being... at 6.6 yards per carry, that won't hold up more likely than not as he gets more carries. But let's just call it a 5 yards plus per carry guy. If he ends up getting 15, 16, 17 carries a game, I see him as a 1,200-yard plus runner, not an 80-plus a year reception guy. That's a different conversation, I understand that, than the running style. But I still don't see a lot of similarities in the Kamara and Bill running style. Bill is a little bit upright. Not Arian Foster, Eric Dickerson upright, but there is a little bit of an upright nature. But man, does he have quick, decisive, excellent feel and vision as a runner. Rigo always said his number one attribute wasn't his speed, wasn't his power. It was his eyes. That vision, great vision, makes great running backs. All right, I see all of you on hold. Stay there. We'll do this for another segment. Who does Bill Kroski Merritt remind you of? Who's his NFL current or historical comp? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, it is Tuesday, October 7th. We start off with a recap of Monday Night Football. It was absolutely electric game last night between the Chiefs and the Jaguars, who won on a broken play where Trevor Lawrence got tripped by his O-lineman and scrambled in for the touchdown. Jags win 31-28. To baseball, the Dodgers, they hold off the Philadelphia Phillies as they attempt a late-game comeback, scoring 3 runs in the 8th and 9th inning, but Roky Sasaki comes in and escapes the win with the win. Dodgers now lead the series 2-0. And the Brewers, they beat the Cubs last night by a score of 7-3. Jackson Churio with a 3-run home run straight out to center to seal the game for the Brewers. They win, again, 7-3. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17 point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill Nye, the science guy. Bill Nye, the science guy. Bill, 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 Bill. Bill Crosby, man, with a little bit of how you like me now.
Commanders rule.
We got this guy. I don't know if y'all know him, but his name is Bill.
What is that that you just came back
It's with? The Commanders edit for Bill. So, Bill Nye, the science guy. Do you know who that is? He's big when I was a kid. So it, people, every time that he scores, people have been posting just Bill Nye the Science Guy edits with Bill, and so this last night was the big one that they put out.
Oh, okay.
In the middle of the night. Yeah, so I've, since got we're it. Talking Bill, figured I'd come back with it.
God, there's a lot of response to this.
So
I,
many.
I thought there would be. By the way, real quickly, G from the shop just DM'd me. There have been zero comps to Barry Sanders in my lifetime. That is so true. And I've seen a lot of you tweeting to me, Le'Veon Bell. I think there have been very few comps for Le'Veon Bell's running style. No, I don't see Bill as Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell would literally get the ball in the backfield and stop for a second or two before deciding what to do. He had unbelievable patience, maybe the all-time level of patience as a running back. And by the way, the combined patience and vision. But his style of running was completely different. I see Kroski Merritt as patient. I see him as a, more than anything else, a great vision runner, especially in between the tackles. Like, he's really good inside as a runner. You even saw that, you know, in the preseason games for whatever it was worth. But you saw that definitely on the New Mexico stuff. And I got to give credit to C-Dub and Deval. They both mentioned somebody on Twitter that I was going to come back with and mention. Terry Allen, if we're going to use a skins comp, Terry Allen, size-wise, style-wise, very similar. Now, I think Terry Allen may be a little bit more of a rugged runner and was. Maybe that'll end up being Kroski Merritt as well. But I see that comp, definitely. Terry Allen was a good back. Terry Allen rushed career-wise for, you know, 8,600 yards over his career and was very good here. Terry Allen is like, I think he's top 50 maybe. 41 on the all-time rushing list. 41, Terry Allen is. All right, back to the phone lines. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. Anthony, who's your comp for Bill?
So, Kevin, I was the one that brought up Mike Thomas yesterday.
Right, you did.
So, I was working completely off my mind's eye what I remember how I envisioned him running. So, just to make sure I wasn't crazy, I went to YouTube. Highlights of him are hard to find, but the few that I did find, I see a similar stride.
Yeah.
When they both run. So that's what I was basing it off. Not the number, just almost, to me at least, almost a mirror stride for both of them.
Let me just tell you something, Anthony, because you'll like this. I don't know, a few years ago, and so I'm assuming it's still there. He had a game, and I think for many, many years, it was the number one rushing performance game in Skins history. I think it was 195 yards at the Cardinals, St. Louis. And that game, in its entirety, was on YouTube. You know, the way CBS broadcasted it. And he was sensational in that game. And that was the franchise record for rushing yards in a game for many, many years until, I believe, Gerald Riggs broke the record and went over 200. And then Timmy Smith, obviously, for the playoffs. But I think Riggs broke the record, regular season record, that Mike Thomas held for many years. But yeah, no, stylistically, he was not a burner. He was an inside vision runner who could also catch the football a little bit out of the backfield, for sure. Right. Thanks for that.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day, People's Drugstore?
Yeah.
Used to get the program guide.
Yeah.
The little paperback guide. I remember specifically in one of them, I think it was the following year, there was a picture of Mike Thomas, black and white picture. It said, the caption said, "Take a look here at our rookie, number 22, Mike Thomas."
Yeah. You know, I looked this up after you called yesterday. He passed away a few years ago. He was just 66 years old. Remember, he went to the Chargers. Maybe Washington waived him or traded him for, you know, a fourth round pick or something. And he had a lot of drug issues. Remember, there were a lot of drug issues that he had. And I think he had a tough life after retiring from the NFL, and he passed away a few years ago. But man, he was a really good runner for sure. Thanks for that, as always, Anthony. Let's go to Michael in Gaithersburg. Michael, give me your comp.
Hey. Yeah, well, I have a couple of them. First of all, what about Thurman Thomas? I'm looking at it in terms of his ability to shed tackles.
I see Thurman Thomas like I see Alvin Kamara, like I see Warrick mm-hmm. Dunn. You know, more in the, like, what were his reception numbers? Yeah, I mean, he was 50-plus, 60-plus in receptions. And stylistically, nothing jumps off for me about a comp for Thurman Thomas. But who else you got?
And this is based on listening to Doc Walker. He compared him to Larry Brown. And I'll tell you why I think Larry Brown. I've never seen a back that initial first step to get into the hole. And this is a guy who's deaf, trying to hear the snap count.
Yeah.
Never seen him when that fast to get when go through the, you know, between tackle. And very pugnacious. Unfortunately, he was a lightweight. He didn't weigh more than 200 pounds. And he had, of course, a serious knee injury that curtailed his career.
Yeah, Michael, here's the thing about Larry Brown. I mean, one of the greatest running backs in the history of this organization. He was the 1972 mm-hmm. MVP of the league. Mm-hmm. He had a galloping style. Remember, like, it was like a big-time stride, and he was a punishing runner as well. Yeah. I don't see that as Bill's style. I don't, but it's only five games in, so time will tell. Let's go to Mike. Mike's calling in. Mike, thanks for holding. Go ahead. Who do you have as Bill's comp, current or historical?
My comp for Bill is the Denver Bronco version of Clinton Portis, the one that existed before Gibbs made him bulk up. Somewhat flat-footed, not Charlie Brown flat-footed, but a little flat-footed. Not the pass protector Portis was, but the running style, the Denver Bronco version of Clinton Portis.
Man, that offense was built for Clinton Portis. And you talk about, you know, a one-cut vision guy. And to your point, you know, when he got here, got a bit bigger and stronger and was a punishing runner. And by the way, an all-around pass-protecting warrior on game day. But those early years in Denver, I mean, you know, I'm looking at it right now because I wanted to see what the yards per average. He was over 5 yards each of the first 2 years in Denver. 5.5, 5.5 average yards per carry. Rookie of the year in 2002. Offensive rookie of the year. Pro bowler in his second year. 1,508 yards, 1,591 yards. And then he, you know, had the 1,516 yards, which held until Alfred Morris broke that record. But it was at 4.3 yards per carry, a lot more carries. Yeah, Gibbs ran them a lot more than Mike did in Denver, that's for sure. Let's go to Reggie. Reggie, who's your comp for Bill?
Thank you, Kevin. I was hoping you got to me. I can't believe y'all historians, man, y'all running back aficionados. It's Le'Veon Bell. When I was on hold, right, I pulled up Le'Veon Bell and I pulled up Jacory. He had a run against the Chargers, where he made three jump cuts before he got to the line.
He jump cut left, jump cut right,
and then jump cut left as he's going through. The only running back, and Kevin, you know this, normally they teach you, and especially in Shanahan's, it's one cut and you go. Ain't none of that playing back there. It's not like he's playing anyway. But most of the running backs, again, they cut and they gone. Kevin, he made three jump cuts before he got to the line of scrimmage. That's okay.
I know. Maybe I don't see that. Why do you think that's Bill? I don't see it. I don't like what G said about Barry Sanders, that there really isn't a comp for Barry Sanders. I'm not sure there's actually a comp for Le'Veon Bell. He had one of the most unique running styles in NFL history. Like you just said, before he even got to the line of scrimmage, there were three different cuts, and the patience.
You don't see that with Bill? You didn't see that?
No, I don't see that level of patience. No, that was almost to the point where it's like, what are you doing, dude? It go forward, but he would wait behind the line of scrimmage.
Maybe I'm looking at it right. Maybe I'm looking. I've never seen a running back. Again, in DC, I haven't seen it. Again, I go back. I haven't seen a running back, again, that move. He made three. The only person running back that I normally see make those type of multiple jump cuts was Le'Veon. I haven't seen the dude made three, Kevin. Three.
I know.
He's still got like 7 yards.
He was the best, or when you find the highlights of Roethlisberger handing him the ball, and he just stands there. He stands there and doesn't move for like a full second sometimes. And then you're like, he was just waiting for things to develop.
Okay, but Kevin,
take that out
of the equation. When he does get the ball, it's not like he's running straight ahead.
No, he was a punishing back, though. That's why the other part about Le'Veon Bell, he was a punishing back.
Bill. He was 6'1", 220.
Yeah.
I know, not punishing, but I'm just talking to, like, when behind the line of scrimmage. Like, again, I don't – maybe you would know this because you looked at the R22. The one that he cut to the outside was that – and I think I did see Biotis, so I'm assuming the play was designed to go there, right? The one that he –
yeah, hold on. I'll pull it up. Yeah, the first touchdown, 15 yards. Yeah. I don't know what the design was, but, man, he read it quickly, and he got to the outside, and that thing was sealed, so maybe that was the plan on that run.
Kevin, you know what? My last thought, maybe there's no confidence kid right now.
Maybe what? I'm sorry?
Maybe there's no comp for Bill right now.
Let's put the brakes on. I mean, we're comparing him to some.
No. Hear me out, Kevin. I'm not saying that he's like, oh my gosh, he's doing something just like. But think about the.
No, there's nothing unique. He's just a very good vision runner that seems like, because of his vision and his cutting ability, would be perfect for more of a zone run scheme, you know, offense. And I think he'd be great in that. You know, they run some zone. They run duo. They run, they run a lot of stuff. They a lot of zone read. And let's not forget something here, okay? This is really important. When you play 11-on-11 football because your quarterback is a run threat, everybody benefits from that. And Kroski Merritt is benefiting big time from that, as is Rodriguez and as will McNichols and everybody else. Yep. When you've got a Lamar Jackson or a Jaden Daniels at quarterback, running backs benefit big time. I'm not trying to knock him because I think he's really good. I do. And I think he'd be really good with a quarterback that was, you know, immobile and not a running threat. But everybody benefits from Jaden's dual threat ability. All right, I got to get to a break. All of you that I missed, we may come back to this. In fact, we're going to come back to this at some point. So I know everybody's busy and you've got other things to do, but I've got a guest coming up and I need to get to that. And we're going to ask Nick Ackridge for a comp on Bill. All of our NFL talk, by the way, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Nick Ackridge next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.